This is Tony Broom Ministries, welcoming you for the following Bible teaching session from Isaiah chapter 1. The title is Sin, Judgment, and Restoration. It's important that we reach out to souls. Before we get involved in our scripture today, I want to challenge us all to pray for the souls of lost men and women and boys and girls. Unless we reach our world for Jesus Christ, our world will continue in a spiral downward, decay and depravity that we find ourselves living in. God will judge the sinner, but forgive and restore the penitent. God is always willing to forgive. He is a good, good Father. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He will forgive. He will restore. But those who persist in living ungodly ways, he has to judge sin. Our golden text is Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So, whether you're in the old covenant or the new covenant, the message is still the same. We have to repent. Repent. Mark opens his gospel by saying, and believe the gospel. Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here, the message is the same. The Apostle Paul preaches. Peter preaches. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verse 19, repent and be converted. That's what we need, to repent, to change our mind, to turn from our wicked ways, and be converted, be saved, be born again, that your sins may be blotted out. And then when the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, we will have that blessing of eternal life, of course, and enjoy that forever. Let's talk about the sin of a nation. God speaks through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 1 to both Israel and Jerusalem. So anytime you have a message from the prophets that is to both Israel and Judah or Jerusalem, it speaks to both the kingdoms. Israel, sometimes called Ephraim in the north, and Judah, Jerusalem in the south. The message goes now from Isaiah to all the kingdom of Israel, all the children of Israel. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the donkey his master's pen. But Israel does not know, my people do not consider. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Israel was known as a backsliding nation. And backslide, backslider, backsliding, backslidden, all these things were words of the Old Testament. They were not to be words of the New Testament. Some people don't even think it's possible to backslide under the new covenant. But certainly we can backslide. We should not. But God loves the backslider. The scripture tells us he's married to the backslider. But the backslider has to come back to the Lord. There are many people in our day who are living in a backslidden condition. You say, well, how can you make that judgment? That's not a judgment. That's a fact. The reason you can know is because he speaks to the church of Ephesus. He said, look, I know your works. I know what you're involved in. I know what you're doing. You've done a lot of good things. But you have left your first love. What do you call that? That's backsliding. It may not be in a total backslidden condition. But if we're not going forward, we're either sitting still or going backwards in reverse. And chances are you don't sit still very long. You either go one way or the other. He speaks of Israel. And he lays it on the line. God tells it just like it is. Ah, sinful nation. He just opens his mouth like, ah, sinful nation. A people laden, burdened down with iniquity and sin. And he gives the illustration of the ox who knows his owner and the ass or the donkey who knows the crib, the master's pen. But Israel, they do not know. My people are not considering. Hear the word of the Lord, he says in verse 10. You rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. And if he would call someone Sodom and or Gomorrah, that is a bad reference, because we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed because they refused to serve God. They were so demoralized in their living and their behavior that God had to judge their sin. And now he speaks to his own people. He said, look, you're living like Sodom. You're acting like Gomorrah. And he speaks to them, verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. He said, all these things that you're going through, all these religious ceremonies and rituals that you're involved in, he said, you make me sick with all of your religiosity, and your lips talk about me, and I'm close to you in your lips, but your heart is far from me. It, he says, is iniquity, even the solemn meeting when you get together and have service. It's a joke. That's what he's saying. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. So all these things they're doing, their feasts, their Sabbaths, their celebrations, all the things they're going through, he said, there's no meaning in it. It's not heartfelt. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. It's bad when God says, I'm not going to hear your prayers. I'm not going to listen. You can pray and make many long prayers, but I will not hear you. And you would say, why? Well, he says right here, your hands are full of blood. You say, well, I haven't shed any blood. Well, our nation has. What about abortion? We take the life of the newborn, the life of the unborn, those who do not have a voice to speak for themselves. We decide for ourselves what we want, and we put our decision over on them and take away their innocent life so that we can have convenience, so that we can have ourselves a fancy life, free life with no burden and no responsibility. If pregnancy happens and we don't want it, we just do away with it. We act like it's just a discarded rag or a piece of paper. We don't even treat it like another human being and a human life at all. But God says, your hands are full of blood. We may not have shed red blood in outward skin, in the outward open, but our nation legalizing abortion, putting the stamp of legality upon that which God says is murder and is an abomination in the sight of God, same-sex marriage, legalizing marijuana, we know it does harm to people. We try to fool ourselves into some false way of living and thinking that nothing is going wrong. America is turning away from God just like Israel. And we have Israel as an example, and instead of doing better, we're doing worse, and we're turning away from God. We don't have an army. We don't have young people. We don't have many people that would be here because we have chosen. We thought because we were educated in Yale or Harvard or some big institution like that, we thought that we had sense enough and make decisions and make laws which are against God. We thought that we knew what we wanted. We thought we knew what was best. So we have decided for abortion instead of birth. We have decided for death instead of life. We have decided for unisex and transgender instead of marriage and holy matrimony. Verse 21, how is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. See the degradation? Getting worse and worse. Verse 23, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. And so, because they were not doing what God told them to do, it was getting worse and worse. And now he calls them to repentance and to cleansing. Come and be clean. Come and repent. Verse 16, we're in Isaiah chapter 1. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, that is, do what's right by them. Plead for the widow. And all these things he tells us to do, we can do better than what we're doing. Some people just feel like we just row, row, row your boat gently down the stream and the river of easy, cheap, easy believism, and you just go, whatever will be, que sera, sera. Well, that's not the way it is. That's not the way we have to live. We can do better. We can turn around. We can change our ways. We can't change our heart. God can do that, and we can change our life. The Holy Spirit will help us. He says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. Stop doing evil. Learn to do well. Do what's right by the fatherless, by the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. God is not an unreasonable God. He will reason with you. He will help you to do what's right. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. God says this is what's going to happen. If you don't do what's right, you will be eaten up. You will be devoured by your own sin and ungodliness. But if you turn, I will bless you. Judgment and restoration is promised if we will do what's right. Verse 24, therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. Ah! I will ease me of mine adversaries. Now he says, ah, again. And you'll forgive the reference, brothers and sisters, but I'm going to tell it like it is. God says, ah, I will ease me of my adversaries. It's like you make me want to go to the bathroom. Ah, I will ease me of my adversaries. God says, I need some relief. I need to relieve myself of all these enemies who refuse to serve me and do what's right. I will avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to take away this refuse metal. I'm going to take away these sinful things, and I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. In chapter 2, it talks about the last days, the good days that are coming. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. If you would read this from the prophecy of Micah, it would read almost the same way. And that means that God is speaking. He's speaking more than once and more than through more than one prophet, trying to get people to come to him and trying to get people to do us right. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. This is Jesus. The song said, when King Jesus comes to live with us again. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. You won't need the swords anymore. Beat them into a plowshare, something that will do some good. You don't need the spear anymore. Beat it into a pruning hook, something that will be productive. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. He speaks to Israel, and he says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Sin, judgment, and restoration. God wants us to know that we're living in sin as a nation, just like Israel. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to put our faith and our trust in him. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to present this word to your people. I pray that you'd bless this word to our hearts and may many people be saved, not just to hear a message, not just to enjoy a sermon or a teaching session, but I pray that people would decide to give their heart and life to you and be saved and follow Jesus. I pray this in his name. Amen. Sin, Judgment, and Restoration has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.